All right. Good morning. It is Friday and we're already well into June. It is the middle of winter. We've got a couple of interesting things to get to this morning that we haven't yet mentioned. I don't know if you've been following the Diddy trial.
No.
Anybody? No? You guys have given up already?
I've got questions, but I haven't been following.
He's guilty. Like, yeah, I heard that. Everything I needed to hear from Cassie. Then I was like, Kishap, this man's guilty. Whatever happens to him now?
Well, this is odd. Okay, so I haven't been following it much either, but occasionally something will come across the feed. Mm-hmm. And this was about a designer, a graphic designer, who testified that Sean Diddy Combs once lifted her over a 17th floor balcony and threw her into patio furniture during a 2016 incident, claiming she witnessed him throw a knife at his ex-girlfriend. I mean, I'll get into Cassie in a minute because there's a lot to discuss there. This graphic designer described years of witnessing Combs' alleged violence and threats, also admitting to shared drug use with Cassie Ventura. The testimony is part of a broader federal case in which Combs faces racketeering and sex trafficking charges amid multiple abuse claims. What is the thing with holding people over balconies?
It's like one of those cheesy mobster kind of acts.
It's like what he saw in a mob movie.
Exactly, right? That. Like, I'm so
He's
powerful.
Such a low-rent gangster. Yeah. And obviously for a long time, exactly. He thought he was quite a big, scary deal.
Mm.
Because he had money and because he was a rapper.
Well, he harnessed hip hop.
But as 50 Cent says, he's just like some pathetic beta male who was just taking advantage of people for sex.
Yeah.
By basically holding them at gunpoint. You know, sometimes the scariest thing is just standing up to these people that one time, because then they'll leave you alone. Kid Cudi wasn't taking his shit.
Yeah, but he did blow up his car, though.
He did blow up his car.
So that.
So you may have to undergo some material damage. But did you hear, like, even Cassie Ventura's mother, he, like, tried to extort money out of her, and then she had to mortgage her house or something to pay the $20,000. He said, I want $20,000. So she had to find $20,000, mortgaged her house, got the cash, gave it to him, and then he's like, okay, you can have your $20,000 back. So it was pure mental torture.
What a piece of shit.
What a terrible human being this guy is. I honestly hope he rots in jail just for the things we know about, let alone the ones that we don't yet. But I got to say this, maybe an unpopular point of view. Cassie Ventura says she stayed around because she liked the lifestyle. And I have to tell you, there's a responsibility to anyone who's being abused like she was. I have massive sympathy for her because nobody should be dragged by the hair and kicked and hit and beaten like she was. But you have to stop this yourself first. You have to say, I'm out. Even if it means you don't get to drive the sports car or have all of that disposable income, show off your life on Instagram, you have to be prepared to make a sacrifice to save yourself. Because if you put up with this stuff, first of all, it sets a very bad example for younger, more impressionable girls who think that life has to be about abuse and that every man who gives you something will take something else away.
Yeah.
And I don't like the idea that what we're doing is giving Cassie a free pass here. Even though she is the victim, and I agree that she should be treated as a victim, and she has come off as a very dignified, decent woman, actually. In her own right, she doesn't seem to be anything trashy. She was up there on the stand almost 9 months pregnant. And the bits I've seen and the things I've heard and the reports I've read show her as a very sensible, together, kind of balanced human. I want to give her credit, but I do think you got to get out. If my message to any person who's in an abusive relationship is it's not going to help you 5 years later when you're testifying in court, 10 years later, 15 years later, when you get a settlement from a monster like this Diddy. You have to get out early so that you do yourself less damage. Can we just stop with the, and I know this sounds very, very crass, but this having your cake and eating it approach where you want to be in the relationship because you're getting material stuff. You're getting money, you're getting cars, you're getting a lifestyle. But you're damaging yourself by being with this horrible person. Have the self-respect, and I'm not saying Cassie didn't, because she's there now bravely standing up and saying what needs to be said. But have the self-respect in an abusive relationship to get out while you still can. Who knows how many women never made it out that are in shallow graves somewhere now because of some disgraceful, despicable, deplorable human being taking advantage of them and treating them like a slave, which is what Diddy treated her like. You know, you can't send him texts like, oh, can't wait for the next freak off if you're being abused. You actually have to stand up for yourself before anyone else will stand up for you. Unpopular opinion.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, abusers don't change because they literally hunger for power. So they're not suddenly going to go, you know what, I've been a bit of a prick for the last 3 years. Let's try something different.
Yeah, he's not
going to come. It only gets worse.
He's never going to come home and stick to his word of saying, oh, I'm sorry about what happened last night and I still love you. He's going to keep doing that. It's never going to change. He is, because any man who raises a hand to a woman will do it again. There's something wrong with him. There's something disgusting and wrong with him.
But there's something about humans that like a bit of danger, though. There's also that.
Yeah.
We can never just rule that out completely. Why are you laughing? I want to get your thoughts on that.
No, because this
whole thing, like, everyone loves a bad boy, that kind of shit.
That is true.
It blows up in your face so hard.
But I'll tell you, the thing is, you like the bad boy when he's rough and tough over there with the others, right? You still want the guy to be nice to you, and you want to have that kind of like, oh, you know, he might be mean to everybody else, but I get his sweet spot and he's nice to me, opens the door for me, buys me all of this. And I think that's the allure to it. It's like, oh, you're so mean and sexy out there. And then you don't realize that people don't switch off, hey? They're going to bring that meanness right back home. Oh. How they treat the next person, they're going to treat you on their bad day. And that's the sad reality about wanting that bad boy, is that he's eventually going to turn on you.
I guess like the male equivalent is the lady in the streets but the freak in the bed. But ultimately, there's going to be lingering issues there as well.
Yeah, because for her to be a freak, she had to do some things. You can learn a lot. You're not going to like it.
You can learn a lot of life by rap lyrics alone.
This guy gets worse and worse, this Diddy. Yeah. Now holding this woman over the balcony.
He's a horrible person.
I mean, like, I thought the baby oil was the worst, but that was nothing.
In fact, that seems to be the most normal thing that he's ever done.
Guys, all I will say on this is that Oprah knew.
Yeah, I know.
All of these things. Epstein.
Oprah knew. You're going to bring Oprah in?
Yes.
Epstein, Diddy.
Hold all the friends accountable.
All of this stuff, Oprah knew.
Really?
Okay. Kanye, everything. Oprah knew.
All right.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
She's not.
Take that what you want.
As amazing anymore.
How many men are also in shallow graves after sipping that unusually sweet coffee? Well. Or going to Bill Cosby's house for a drink. That was.
Oprah knew.
Do you want a drink? I'm going to pour you a drink. Here's Oprah a little knew. Something for you and your friend. No, thank you. It's horrific.
Yeah, Bill Cosby was horrific, but that's all.
He was horrific.
Like, horrible. Yeah. And is he still in prison?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Right up there.
Did he get released? I know he had glaucoma or some shit.
Bill Cosby's out.
Oh, no.
But that's imagine, like forgotten. That's how horrible this world is. That we forgot how horrible Bill Cosby
hooks
is.
Hooks up with his old friend Bill Clinton. I think that South Park did a thing where they had the Bill and the Bill show.
Oh, no.
Where they had Bill Cosby and Bill Clinton. And the two of them were like, they were running some kind of dating show. Can you imagine that?
Oh, no.
That would be so funny.
Oh, no.
Hello, I'm Bill Cosby, and I'm going to do a dating show. And you go, hi, I'm Bill Clinton, and I'm with my friend Bill. And they start this show where they match up a girl and a guy, and they both get handsy with the girl. I mean, can you imagine? Would be very funny TV. Let's talk about this quickly. Simpiro has found a French car that you can drive without a license. Is it one of those three-wheel things?
It's no, it's an actual car.
Really?
It is. It's a Piccanini. Like,
oh, there we go. Citroen. Yeah, they're all over Europe, those things.
You know, I thought about you, Simpiro. First, tell us about this thing. And then I'll get to where I thought about
French Bajaj.
It is. Literally is. So if you live in France and your license gets taken away or you just don't have the desire to ever learn how to drive, this is an option for you. It's extremely slow. There are different versions out there. In fact, there's this car show last year that I saw, but it was all in French. And they were talking about like the different models and which are in and, you know, like which you should be getting, you know, and stuff.
I want to commend you on the lengths you go to for researching this show. You're watching French car shows to bring us all this information.
And so those are one of those like cars that you can now get. You don't need a license. It's extremely slow, very, very slow. It's a two-seater. And that's basically about it. There's nothing wild to it, in my humble opinion. But I think it's a cool like thing. To
French
look into.
Bajaj.
Yeah, if you don't ever want to drive, you don't ever see yourself doing that.
It's cool for parking. Yeah, you'll see them in Paris a lot, but no.
Okay.
And also, I don't understand why you wouldn't need a license, because you're speaking on the road with other people.
So speaking of parking, I thought of Simpiwe the other day, because we've got someone in the building, not in our company, but in the building, who has a very, very fancy Mercedes sports car.
Which that asshole.
Oh, that guy downstairs.
Well, I don't know. That asshole, because he takes two parkings and parks them. Okay. Such
so
an
he takes
asshole.
Two parkings. But it's his business, I think. So he's allowed to take
it
up.
It is his business.
Plus,
but you're still an asshole.
With a car like that, which it's a very, very sexy car.
Yes.
I think you should have two parkings. If, however, someone in a beaten up brown Toyota Cressida had to try and take up two parkings, then we would hate him.
I hate him because I look at the car and I'm like, damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it. I wish this was me. But now it's you. So
You see, I don't have a problem with him parking his car across two parking spaces. I think that's part of the deal.
He employs like 20 people. He's basically giving to the economy. And here you are sitting in your ivory tower of the third floor going, that guy, I fucking hate that guy.
No, I just don't shame like his tendencies of, it's, you know, sometimes when you like, drive up and you're like looking for parking and you think there's a free spot because of how he's parked, and then you go and you're like, okay.
Yeah, it's very annoying.
Yes, that's the part I don't
But then
like.
You get to look at a beautiful car.
Yeah. See, I don't. Every time
I knew I was going to win you over on that.
I'm not a massive petrol head, but there's some cars that always turn my head. It's like, you know, so, sometimes you will forgive a very beautiful woman for cutting in front of you in a line.
Yes.
Someone ugly tries that, you're going to be like, you get back, troll. You know what I mean? It's like, there we go.
That was me last week.
Oh, my God.
That's Ben pre-hair transplant. Okay, very good.
Oh, okay.
Now, another thing that is on the rise is funeral reviews.
Yes, this is a thing I never in my life expected.
Is this here in South Africa?
Yes, right? This is crazy.
People are posting reviews of a funeral.
Yeah, it all started off with this one guy who, I think he was being like sarcastic in the first video. I genuinely think so. He was like, "Yo, guys, I just come back from a funeral and I'm going to like just review it. The vibes were off. People were sad. And, you know, like they weren't singing much. So I'll give that a 7 out of 10. Let's talk about the food. No, they only gave me cabbage, rice and meats. I think they could have offered more. I'm more of a stump man. So we'll give it a 5. And then the after tears. Okay, the after tears, people were rocking. And that for me was the best part of the entire funeral. So we'll give that a 10 out of 10. It started off like that, and now people are creating these videos where some other guy says, and then another day, another funeral. That's how he starts off his videos, and he reviews it.
Is he like a funeral crasher?
No, I mean, so many people are dying nowadays that you can attend a funeral every week. So,
have you ever? It's probably the wrong thing to ask Ben and Simpiwe because they're not those kind of people. But we were talking about Bogans earlier.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be too much to expect a bogan to crash a funeral or a wedding or any free party where there's food and drink.
Fuck us, all right.
Correct. So I wonder if this isn't going to lead to a lot more people funeral
crashing. But don't people
crashing.
Already do that already?
Yes, they because, do that I mean, like, for the food. Because, at least black funerals.
Yes,
you say
you'll
that.
See them on streets and the whole road rocks up.
Yes.
And then the cousins of the cousins.
So, let me ask this because I've always thought that a funeral's exceptional in that you don't actually have an invite list.
Yes.
You know, no it's one, like a wedding, as far yeah. as I know, no one is invited to a funeral.
Yes. You get told that someone has passed
on. You come to pay your respects. You're allowed to pay your respects.
Right. Okay, because I've been to some memorial services and funerals. To me, they're the worst by far. It's often it's obviously very sad. Mm. It's often there's an element of tragedy in there. There's an gone too soon kind of feeling.
Yes.
And as far as I'm concerned, less is more. Like a dignified short ceremony. If the person was religious, you give them their rites. Mm. You have family and friends in the inner circle. They should be the ones to lead the thing. Maybe some words are said. That's always lovely.
Give the ability for closure.
Right. And then let's get on with it. I got to give massive props to the Jews. And to the Slims, the Muslims and the Jews, because they get it done the day after.
The
Catholics, sometimes they take it a little. That Pope, whew, they had that guy lying out there in the fucking sun, baking after 7 days of being dead. And I'm like, you got to put this guy in the ground now.
Bro, he probably smelled horrendous.
Well, with all the incense, who would have known? But my point is, no one should be hanging around that long. And I do think it's really important to have what Ben said is closure. Yes. But funeral reviews, whew, I could give you some funeral reviews. I won't because I think it's probably undignified to do so. But I've been to some funerals where I've thought the person who's dead wouldn't want this.
Yes.
You know, someone's decided that we need entertainment.
Oh, well, yeah. In America, there was a whole show, a reality TV show. I don't know how true this is, but I did watch it, where it was titled The Best Funeral Ever.
Oh, yeah.
And then basically what would happen is a funeral parlor. It was a specific funeral parlor. They're the ones who actually licensed the show. Their clients would come in. So my grandmother has just passed on. And then I described to them the kind of person my grandmother was. So I'd be like, she was loud. She liked music. She liked talking and whatnot. And they were like, okay, cool. Thank you so much. I think the family gets to pick the coffin. But then the funeral parlor does everything. And based off what you've told them about the deceased, that's how the funeral is going to be. So if they liked entertainment, guess what? There's people singing and whatnot. The coffin is then coming with like speakers. If the person was athletic, guess what? The coffin is going to be, they're going to hold it and then someone's running and stuff. So they really made it a very
theatrical. It's a production.
Yes. And I found that so weird. I was just like, why are we doing all of this? Because of the funerals were outside because the person was athletic and, it's on the track for the
South Africans, we have huge amounts of money that go into funerals.
Yes. Massive. It's a huge industry.
Companies like Clientele and other funeral people. I mean, these are people who make a ton of money.
Mm.
You've got little funeral parlors that are family run that have become mega multi-million rand businesses because it's a moment that people really are prepared to spend a lot of money on. You'll see people, they'll pay their funeral policies before they'll eat some months because they don't want to end up ashamed of their own funeral.
Yes.
And it's a weird thing to me, and it may be weird to some people.
Oh, no.
Because I don't
think... Do that. Pay your funeral policies.
Sure.
I'm that black girl. Pay so that once you've passed on, we don't need to stress about how we're going to bury you. And also this comes from the fact that like we do funerals like a week after you've passed on. So there's a lot of money being spent once you've passed on for that week and whatnot. If you can just make things a little bit lighter, And also because not all families are the same, and some people they're very underhanded and they do things very like, oh no, we don't have the money, but there was actual money, you know, put in place. It's better if we know that your policy is going to pay for everything. It's just better.
Please. See, they should be hiring you for those ads. The way you just explained it. I'm like, shit, okay. The point is that it is a big business. And I'm not surprised now that reviews have started to come in. Hey, this is what's exciting.
Funeral influencers. Another day, another funeral with my man from Clientele Life.
Yeah.
Here's the guy who started
this thing. Let's see this.
Hey, guys. So yesterday I was at a funeral. So I'm just going to review it quickly. The first thing I'm going to review is the vibe. The vibes were off, honestly. Like, everyone was just sad the whole time. It was such a cool joy for me personally. Like, I'm a bubbly person, you know? So when I got there, everyone was sad and crying. And I'm like, you know? It was really... And also, it was boring. Like, there was no music or anything like that. Like, no games. Like, literally, there was nothing you could do for fun there. Except for, like, sit. You know, so... I don't know, man. The vibes for me personally were off. So I'm just going to give that a 2 out of 10. The second thing I'm going to review is the food. The food could have been better, honestly. Like, I don't understand why they couldn't have served, like, gourmet burgers. You know, we literally had samp beef and cabbage. And I was like, okay, why are we, you know? The samp was definitely overcooked. It was, like, super mushy. To the point where I was like, "What is this? Is this a risotto? What is this?" You know, the beef was definitely underseasoned, absolutely underseasoned. It was just absolutely disgusting, honestly. Yeah, and the cabbage is cabbage. What are you gonna say about that? Overall, the food for me is like, really, it's a 1 out of 10 personally. Like, even the people who cooked were like sad, and when they served the food, they were like sad. I'm like, what kind of service is this, bro? Like, what happened to customer service, you know? So overall, really dull experience, super dull. The company was not great. The atmosphere was not great. The food sucked, you know? The customer service sucked. So overall, I'm just going to give it a 2 out of 10. But rest in peace, Mpendulo. Like, you were a great guy. So, like...
That last part, rest in peace, Mpendulo. Like,
okay, I think that's great. Maybe I've got a memorial on Saturday. Maybe I'll leave a review.
Review it.
Huh? What do you think?
In real time, though, with people around,
with the food and the vibes, you know. Please let us know if they're up to par.
So listen, we've got to get some sport in because for the last 2 weeks we haven't had any.
Three weeks. Guys, it's been so long.
All right, and we've got quite a big sporting weekend.
It's a quality over quantity kind of thing. Let me just start up by saying enough football. No more football.
Oh.
Because, you know, you got to have breaks, right?
Yeah, of course.
These fuckers, they carry on. There's this Nations League something what they still want to play. There's a FIFA Club World Cup. No.
It's just enough, guys. It's called exploitation.
Too much. So no football today. There's the United Rugby Championship. So this is really exciting because at Loftus this weekend, sell out.
Oh.
The Sharks versus the Bulls, the big semi-final.
Oh.
So if you are in Loftus, if you're going to be anywhere near there, the best, that game will be at 6:15. So the Bulls essentially are going to be big favorites for that one because they just are a better team. Mm-hmm. The Sharks had that funny... penalty shootout, which you and James both butchered horribly on Monday.
Yeah,
of course. Which was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, Ben, let me just explain. I tried to deal with James not understanding that how rugby works. He didn't understand penalties at all.
Yeah, but you didn't understand the point that James was making. Both of you were missing each other like blindfolded dogs. It was hilarious. Because your whole thing was like, James doesn't understand there's a penalty in rugby. How dumb is he? And he's going, Gareth doesn't understand that penalties decide games. It was gold. It was absolute fucking gold. I loved it. So yeah, penalties are actually, they can decide an encounter if by injury time there's a stalemate. So that's going to be the second one. The first semi-final, Leinster versus the Warriors from Glasgow.
Okay.
So last year, Glasgow beat Leinster, and that's why the final was at Loftus.
Okay.
So we're all praying that this can be the same thing again, because also the Irish Oaks are a bunch of dicks.
Okay.
So that'll be at 4:45. URC semi-finals, so damn exciting. French Open.
Ooh.
The finals of the French Open.
Ooh.
So, you know, like major tennis tournaments, the first week no one really cares. There's lots of people you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But now we've got the finals. So in the women's, simply, which I know you're hugely excited about.
Is Naomi there?
Naomi Osaka is not there.
Oh.
But Coco Gauff is there.
Oh, she finally made it through.
She finally made it through.
Finally. So, yo, she had a kid and couldn't come back. Like,
yeah, Coco's spilt it a few times here and there. There's a bit of drama around her.
I do know sports.
She's quite extra.
Yeah.
She's quite extra. She finds ways to lose, but she beat Boisson, the French lady.
Okay.
So she was the big hometown hero, blah, blah, blah. No chance getting to the final.
Okay.
So Coco's in the final for the second time. She's the second seed, and she'll be taking on Aryna Sabalenka, who is a beast.
Ooh.
She blixums the ball harder than anyone has ever played women's tennis.
Your money on her?
Yes.
Okay.
So she beat Swiatek, the Polish woman, who was the fifth seed. So that's going to be like a dream final. You've got first seed versus second seed, Sabalenka versus Gauff. And then in the men's, that'll take place today in the semis.
Mm.
So remember back in the Paris Olympics, they played tennis at Roland Garros.
Yes.
And now the cool thing about the French Open, the semis now, is that all three medal winners are in the semis.
That's very good.
Yeah. So Musetti, who was the bronze medalist, he'll be taking on Carlos Alcaraz. That'll be at 2:30 today. And then the big one, 7:00, Sinner versus Djokovic. Yes, Djokovic is still there. He's like, he's 38, whatever he is.
A lot of people are going, oh, I'm so sick of Djokovic. But give the guy credit. Wow.
It is so incredible to be that old and to be going against these guys. So, you know, Sinner had that big drug ban, which wasn't really a drug ban, which was a drug ban. He's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that tall, lanky ginger. Djokovic is just finding ways to win. He beats Zverev in the quarters. So, again, we've got a dream final potentially happening because I mean, Alcaraz is going to beat Musetti, but whether it be Sinner or Djokovic, because then it's got one versus two. If Djokovic could somehow get through this one and somehow get Alcaraz, it'll be the Olympic rematch, basically, because Djokovic won gold at Paris. So, yeah, I mean, like the French Open, some people say Wimbledon's a lot more exciting and I don't really care about that one, but the French Open is still pretty cool. It's still pretty sexy. It's on the red clay, Roland Garros. There's also UFC this weekend, guys. And we haven't spoken about UFC in quite some time.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because it's been boring. I'll be the first to admit it. I will stand out here and say, I got you all into UFC. I told you how cool MMA was. But it's been dog shit for quite a while.
Yeah.
If Drickus isn't fighting, it's hard to get a card that you're excited about. But this one's pretty good. So we have UFC 316. Mirab Dvalishvili will be taking you on Sean O'Malley. So Mirab is this Georgian guy. He makes Quacker Smith look like a model. His nose is like yesterday.
Sure. Okay.
I think we've discussed him before.
He's quite something, but he's like this nuggety little oak. He's so hard to beat because he's like this little bog troll, but he's so strong and tenacious. Whereas Sugar Sean O'Malley is like this taller, striking, aesthetically pleasing fighter. And many people give him shit by basically saying that the UFC tried so hard to create the new Conor McGregor through him. So the guy's got a lot of shit, but he is good. He did actually win the title.
Okay.
Mirab took it from him. Literally, just took it from him.
No.
So there's a massive troll fest between these two. It's going to be a great fight, so I'm really excited about that. So that's okay. Mirab's side profile is the most flattering profile for him.
Mm.
Okay, so it's not going to be this card, but thanks for the visuals, James. But that is these two people.
Oh. Okay.
The other two people fighting on the co-main event is a women's fight.
Okay.
Okay, and I don't normally go into the women's MMA.
I don't like to see women.
I don't think it's that exciting. And I think, unfortunately, the talent pool is just hugely shallow.
Okay.
It's just, there's the facts. It's not me being misogynistic. That's it. But this fight, I think, is going to be hugely exciting. Juliana Pena is taking on Kayla Harrison. Now, we do have a picture of that. James, could you please pull that up?
Ooh.
Those two women are squaring off there. Juliana Pena on the left.
Mob wives.
She's a feisty Venezuelan. And then Kayla Harrison. So she went to the Olympics and she fucked people up.
Oh, really?
So she's a wrestler. James, we've got another picture of Kayla Harrison to kind of show you there.
Oh, my God.
That is Kayla Harrison.
Okay.
If I had to train MMA for like 5 years and really put my back into it, I still would not be anything like Kayla Harrison.
No, that's an beast, impressive. Sure. I mean, not my look and feel for You know?
A wife. But for MMA fighter, that's your look
for
and feel.
Wife. She, for, not for wife.
Not for wife, no. Gareth. Not for wife. But
although she would probably plow the fields very well.
She actually she comes across as quite a sweetheart. But this
I'll
fight,
tell you what, she'll plow you into the ground if you give her shit, though.
I'm so intrigued yes, by this fight, okay? So Juliana Pena's been talking a whole bunch of shit. Now, she became famous because she beat Amanda Nunes, who is like the GOAT of women's MMA. But Amanda Nunes, I don't know if it was just a bad night for her. She just succumbed from nowhere. I think she's got too much out of this fight.
Okay.
Kayla Harrison is going to basically run through her. It's going to break her shit. Sure. Say what you want. I think it's going to be a great fight to watch that. Not that I'm into violence per se, but I think that's going to be a decent co-main event. And then the rest of the card's actually decent. You've got Calvin Gastelum versus Joe Pfeiffer. Joe Pfeiffer's going to win that. And then we've got Mario Batista versus Patchy Mix. Patchy Mix has just come into the UFC. Many people say that he is like a potential title run person here.
Okay.
Huge excited about that. And then Vicente Luque versus Kevin Holland. So the UFC is worth watching this weekend. And if you do like the golf, next week's the US Open. So in lead up to this will be the Canadian Open, which is a really big field. But the most important thing, guys, next week, the Proteas take on Australia
ICC
World Test Championship final. This week on The Bounce Show, we had Josh Margolis, who is the biggest Proteas fan in the whole world and most knowledgeable cricket person I know. So this week on The Bounce Show, you've got to catch the episode. It's the perfect preview for this huge event, which takes place from Wednesday next week. It's a final, guys. It's a final, the World Test final. Oh, I'm so damn excited.
Okay, you seem
about that.
Excited. And cricket takes a lot to get you excited about cricket.
I know, because I really fell out of love with cricket, but it's at Lord's. So basically, I just hope the weather holds and the game is good, because it's five fantastic days of drinking. I've got friends who are going to London. Obviously, I've got friends who live in London. There's Australians, there's Bogans, there's all kinds of people who will go to Lord's and just 5 days on the lash. I think it's a wonderful prospect and just reminds you why sport is so amazing.
Speaking of why sport's amazing, I mean, part of your trip to Scotland was to go and play golf at St. Andrews.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, Gareth, I mean, I know you feel this way, like with history and going to the great cities of the world.
Sure.
When you love something in life and you get to go to a place where it's at its absolute zenith, so to speak, or its peak or its pinnacle of what it represents, there is a happiness that overcomes you, which is just so hard to describe. Like when I played St. Andrews before. I played the old course before. This time round, there was something so extra special. I don't know what it was. Maybe because the sun was shining. But I finished that on the 18th hole. So there's our crew. I finished on the 18th hole, and I just stared at the golf course. It's like it was so weird. Like, I love golf. I've played lots of golf. I've traveled a lot. This trip was just it was basically like a spiritual experience for me.
Wow!
Wow!
And the weather was so great. So we played as we arrived. We played. The London Golf Club, which is in Kent.
Yeah, tell us
so
about that.
So incredibly pretty. So, yeah, I mean, my friend Justin, who organized this whole trip, he picked us up. He lives in Seven Oaks, which is like an hour and a bit from London.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fancy place to live. Seven Oaks is so cool. It's like the idyllic English countryside town.
Okay.
And then you're in Kent, which is like the garden of England, basically. And this London club is wow. It's just so wow. It's just so perfect. Yeah, there's no other way to describe it. It's just so perfect. It was like leafy, perfect, sunny, little bit of wind, and it was warm. We weren't in jackets and coats and things. And summer in England is just, it's a very sexy thing. It's beautiful.
And it's only about 10 days. But they,
it's
they
short,
really
but boy, do they relish it.
The English really make the most out of those 10 days of summer.
Guys, there is nothing prettier. I know, like, I'm the biggest advocate for South Africa, South African golf, this place. Mm-hmm. There's something extra beautiful about that place. Wow.
Yeah.
And then
I mean, they call it the season. So it's not 10 days. It's like a month or two max. It's not much more than that.
3 months.
No, not even. It's a month or two. And during that time,
to September.
They have Wimbledon. They have Henley. They have
so they milk
cows.
It for
they have they everything. And here, this is St. Andrews, right? That's the links.
That's
the
Dunbarney links.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So then we flew to Edinburgh. Okay. And then we played Dunbarney, which is this. So basically, there's links golf with the original courses that have been there since like AD 74 or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you get these Americans who have now built a few of these fancy courses. So that's Dunbarney links.
Okay.
They found old land and they just made this incredible golf course.
Because if that wasn't a golf course, it would just be windy moors.
It'd be very, very unspectacular.
Yeah.
But it's like it's so super fancy, right? So these places are purpose built, and there's like this understated clubhouse, and there's just rich Americans everywhere. So we played the Dabani Links, which was so special. And then we went to Carnoustie, and the weather was hard. Carnoustie's like, it's like more working class. It's like the Bergen of the yeah, best courses.
If I didn't know it was a golf course, I'd say it's some kind of, it's something on a tray that they like serve at parties.
Aberdeen. You drive to Aberdeen, I think it is.
Yeah.
So we drove to Aberdeen, which is like an hour and a bit.
Aye, I know Aberdeen.
It's rough.
I've been there.
By the docks.
Aye.
And it was so windy. So basically, I want to make a video for my friends of this video of what the tour was. Yeah. So I'm kind of getting through it now. So everywhere we went, I filmed a bit. And it was so fucking windy at Carnoustie, but I really desperately wanted an establishing shot of the famous hotel on 18th. And the sun was at a great angle, and I thought, okay, I just need to get it up, get the shot, bring it down, and then go tee off.
The drone.
So then I put my drone up, and this little fucker, he had no chance.
Shame.
The wind took him and threw him further down.
No!
I got the shot I wanted, but then there was no more drone.
Oh.
And then, like, after sacrificing my drone to the weather gods,
yeah,
the weather was fucking perfect after that.
Oh, God.
Next day,
it,
went to King's Barnes. Not a breath. It was sunny.
The
ocean was lapping against the shore. And then we played the old course. Then we played the castle course. Yeah, guys, it's just like when you do love something and to be able to try and find what the best thing is to do, whether it become a lifelong goal, dream, whatever it may be, it was just... That's Carnoustie. Carnoustie has so many bunkers, and it's so difficult to play golf
there. That is an asshole of a bunker. That's a really shitty bunker.
And there's two of those. They're side by side.
Ugh.
So that obscures the green. Yeah, I mean, I got a whole new appreciation for Lynx golf and people who live in the cold. Like, it's far too cold in Scotland.
Like, yeah,
the weather was so good. People were literally losing their minds.
Awful place.
And I was freezing. I was shivering the whole time, but I was happy. Yeah, it was just such an incredible, incredible trip. And I would love to be able to find a way now to make pounds, because you can't actually go there on rands. Even if you have lots of rands, it's insulting what they charge you on rand, on what we used to.
Apparently, Dirk says if you jump high enough in Scotland or Ireland, the wind will actually take you offshore.
I often land in the sea. I was having breakfast, and I was so excited about breakfast, I jumped in the air, and I was in the ocean.
Yeah,
I went for a swim. You know, so Chariots of Fire?
You went for a swim in the ocean?
Yeah. One morning, I Chariots of Fired it. I ran along the beach.
Really?
Water was fucking cold.
That's very
cold.
White, hey?
I'm white. I'm white, yeah.
It's called plunges. It's
break all the rage. But I am a Caucasian male. That is me.
Did Ben go to a Glaswegian barber? Says Congo Chris.
That's the best part of the show.
You've got to listen back to the first hour. We're not going over that again. All right? Pay fucking attention.
Yeah. But Gareth, you know, so we need to find ways to earn pounds in life, guys. Even if you don't, even if you're not a golfer, their money's so strong.
Yeah.
I know this sounds stupid, like, no shit. But like when I was in London, I was looking around, it's like, wow, you can go, if you make pounds, you can go so many places in the world and life will be easier.
Yeah, and it's all because we've got this Mickey Mouse currency. Mickey Mouse is because it's been mismanaged by our Mickey Mouse politicians. So, controversially, this is like we're on the dope system in South Africa.
Yes.
Whereas the other people are working for actual currency. We're on the dope system. We get this thing called the Rand, which is like being paid in cheap wine, like they used to despicably back in the apartheid era and even before then, like we're talking in the 1670s and on, the farm laborers were paid partly in money and partly in wine. So you'd go to the paymaster at the end of the week and he'd give you some wages in coin, and then he'd give you a sack full of shitty wine.
Yeah.
And that was your pay.
Late harvest.
So we are basically earning, we are being paid by the dope system of currencies because the rand is such a stupid currency, right?
So it's so worthless in the greater scheme of things, but we have to travel in this world. All of us have to travel.
Good luck. You're not going to accept your box wine as payment for your flight to wherever you want to go or when you want to spend it internationally.
Yeah.
Or just don't go to Spain.
What's Spain got to do with it?
They don't want tourists.
Yeah, they don't want tourists in Spain. Yeah. They're still trying to get tourists out.
Oh, okay.
A friend of mine just got back from Spain now, and he spent like 3 months there.
Ooh.
And he said, it's really cool, but they do not like tourists. They've just had enough in places like Barcelona.
Yes. Yeah.
It is so, like, a European summer, and what they do with summer, because they appreciate it so much, is like, we have like sun. It's like, yeah, it's always hot and it's great.
Again, here. Bogan. Bring an Australian, bring a European here, and they'll go, oh, wow, you've got such lovely sun, and
yeah.
Country's so beautiful. And we just like, oh, Joburg traffic. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, I felt I actually unlocked some Bogan when I went to Scotland. I was like, everywhere I went, it's like, fuck, this is all right.
Fucking hell, this is all right.
Fuck, it's all right. And we went to these rich places, and I saw these rich people just being all rich. And they're like, oh, okay, I guess we're going to tee off now. It's a bit windy. I'm like, fuck, it's all right. Because I don't care about the weather. I was in Scotland. Fuck, I was happy.
All right, very good. I like this. This is excellent. So they found a 200-year-old condom decorated with erotic art. And they've decided to put it on display at the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam.
Oh, wow.
They're showcasing a 200-year-old condom. It is likely made from sheep's appendix and decorated with erotic imagery. So they've decided to display this. I don't know whether it was on some guy's Johnson back in the day. And,
how did they even find it?
Archaeologists are always digging around.
I reckon that must have been like a freaky butcher back in the day. Spend a whole day making sausage from the sheep's appendix and the lining is like, you know what, I'm going to make a sheath of something else here.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's how condoms got made. I'm pretty sure a butcher invented a condom.
I think it was worse than that. I think it was some kind of perv who wanted to put his penis in something.
That he shouldn't have.
And then he thought, after doing that, he was like, yeah, there's a potential other you. After he'd finished, he went, you know, I think there's another use for this thing. That's how it happened. I'm telling you now. First, immediate gratification, and then big idea.
There's a bigger picture here.
Definitely. A wild elephant wandered into a grocery store in Thailand and calmly snacked on rice crackers, bananas, and a sandwich.
Yeah, well, those Thai elephants are chilled, though.
And left without harming anyone, leaving only muddy tracks behind. Known for foraging in homes, this is his first grocery store visit, this particular elephant.
Oh, is this his thing?
Yeah, he forages and he'll come to your house and go like, hey, what you got for me?
But those Thai elephants are small as well. Eh?
Yeah.
But still, like, bad habit. Yeah. It's a very bad habit. Don't do it.
His first grocery store visit, highlighting the growing conflict between wildlife and humans. Yeah, let the elephant come and snack every now and then. We let vagrants sit on our street corners and do tick. I think we should allow elephants occasionally to rob a store of a couple of crackers. Because I'd rather have the elephants than the vagrant tick addict.
It's quirky.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Or the guy who's smoking really low-rent weed under a bridge. Yeah, I don't want that guy.
That was another thing I loved about being away.
You didn't?
These places.
Homeless people.
You know, every now and again, it's nice to actually not have it in your face the whole time.
Well, you didn't go to the bad parts of London.
No, obviously not. Everywhere you go has got a toilet. Yeah, sure, I get it. But just like what it does is that we are so oversensitized to so many things here in this country that we constantly have like this drowning in cortisol kind of vibe.
Yeah.
You know what it's like to actually be relaxed? It's fucking wild, guys.
Yeah.
You wake up and you're like,
and in a place like Scotland, I don't think they really have very much to worry about.
No, I mean, look, there's Aberdeen and there's fucking horrible places. There's Glasgow and shit. But I mean, like, St. Andrews is not a real place. It's a university town where people go and play golf. Have you heard of anything more like ridiculous in your whole life?
Yeah.
Jeez, people are relaxed. Wow.
Meanwhile, we are chill. Always hyped up.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Always worrying about our safety. Money, like desperation, job, traffic, all that kind of shit, right? So we don't even realize the ambient temperature of noise in our life.
But like when you hear other people's conversations around you and how placid they are, you look at the newspaper and you go, there was a swan that won a contest.
Wait, what?
Seriously, the biggest scandal was that there were some homosexual celebrities that were breaking up that week. That was as bad as it got.
Really?
I mean, it was inevitable, but I mean, that's not the point.
Wow, those are nice life problems. Absolutely.
So weird seeing that, but so fun.
Problems.
All right, so here's one last thing I want to throw in here. Classical music is experiencing a cultural revival among Gen Z and millennials. This is very good news.
I'm not surprised.
I just want to congratulate. We never say good things about millennials and Gen Z, so I want to say well done.
I'm a millennial.
I know, but we often say shit things about millennials.
You often
know this.
Say the most, actually.
Yeah. Actually, you climb into the... Yeah, you do. So... Apparently, it's driven by social media, fashion, pop culture influences like Squid Games and Dark Academia.
Yes.
Young artists such as Esther Mbrani and Babatunde Akinboboye are modernizing the genre through platforms like TikTok, blending it with hip-hop, storytelling, and personal authenticity. Hey, I don't mind what brings people to classical music. Maybe you don't know this about me. I love to listen to classical music. Just it's when I'm on my own. It's not something you need other people around for. Yeah. When I'm working, you know, if I'm drawing or I'm painting or I'm doing something creative, the only music I'll have on is classical music. And it'll go from, you know, huge dramatic overtures to light kind of choral stuff to a little aria here or there and... Then the kind of chamber music, some small movements by Beethoven and Bach and that kind of thing. All the stuff you've heard before. There's nothing super sophisticated about my tastes there. But classical music is magnificent. It was the apex of music when it was reached, when we reached that point. And it probably happened with Beethoven's Ninth. Once he'd written his Ninth Symphony, and once it was performed, music would never get better. And I love modern music. Don't get me wrong. I love rap. I love hip-hop. I love rock. I love pop. I love all kinds of shit, right? Dance music. I can listen to EDM. I can listen to all that stuff. And I appreciate it enormously. But you cannot be a serious person and tell me that when you compare Beethoven's Ninth to anything, even the Stones, the Beatles... I don't care who you're going to bring up, modern musicians. They're all terrific, but doesn't come close. When Beethoven wrote the Ninth Symphony, we had achieved all we humans could achieve in music. And from then on, it's been great. It's been okay.
But see, the thing about all that, it allows you to feel something. So I can imagine, like, with the Gen Zs and all these people, it's like they don't feel a lot.
You're all jazz!
No, look at the face. Did you see that?
Because I hate the classification. I hate the classification. I think we're all humans. We're just different ages.
Jesus.
But there's so little in this world nowadays that allows you to really feel something.
Yeah.
Again, I keep harping on it again. The Bogan theory is about feeling something because the bass is low.
Sure.
So if you are bombarded with shit that keeps you on like a very basic level, when you have classical music, it hits you like a fucking ton of bricks. It's like when you see something that's incredibly beautiful, like architecture.
Yeah.
It's one thing to see a nice handbag or someone's got a fucking nice hairstyle or some shit. But when you stand, it's like I was standing by the Tower of London and just like quantifying what happened here and why it was built here and obviously being on the Thames River and all this kind of thing. For 10 minutes, I didn't have to talk. I was just grabbed by something that was created. I felt something. You don't see that on looking at a fucking building nowadays.
No.
Because it's built for purpose and function.
Yeah.
When something grabs you in your life like that, it's so beautiful.
I couldn't agree more. So there we go. Congrats. We seldom get to congratulate millennials and Gen Z on this show. I want to take this moment to thank you guys for leveling up.
Yeah.
I mean, this is impressive. Classical music is making a return.
I'm happy.
How superb.
I'm happy.
Huh?
I should have known that we eventually going to get you when the Gen Zs found out about Missy Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
I should have known.
And they did. And Missy Elliott, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with discovering her.
Yes.
I was always a big fan of hers. Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it. And then you know what that is? That it's your feminine, the plan. Yeah, that's actually the reverse of what she's just said.
Exactly.
Yeah. She's very literal. That's the nice thing about Missy Elliott.
But that was a craft. Even that was a craft.
Yes.
Right? You got a hat.
Love her.
Anyway, that's all we got time for today, everybody. So have an excellent weekend. Ben has given you a smorgasbord of sport to indulge in.
It's a great sporting weekend. It really is.
The hell
is.
Was that?
James has fallen off his chair.
What are you people doing? All right. So the producers, all their work comes in right at the end of the show when everybody logs off. So.
The all video right. of the week.
I'm going to try to put this hat on because as much as you people are very...
Is it very sore to put a hat
yeah,
on?
Yeah, it's not great, hey? But I've got to wear a hat in public because, I mean, I don't mind you guys looking at me funny. And because there's context on the show, I'm not going to walk into a shop like that.
No. Okay.
It's going to be a bit weird. But no, I've got a huge fucking head and this thing is on... Like,
yeah, you have a very big head. We've like, often
it's
spoken
on,
about
it's on the biggest it can go on the back. And it's kind of on...
the kind of cool.
How does that look like it's on my head?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, just before we go, this is also, I had a little robin in my bathroom this week. Have you got that picture? I had to release it.
A bird.
A little robin.
An actual bird.
Yeah, very
in
cute.
In your bathroom.
I know how you feel when a bird gets trapped in a room. But I went in there and I spoke to it nicely. That was not the robin, that was someone's screensaver.
Fuck it, James.
I did not have a baobab tree in my bathroom.
Baobab in his bunk.
Anyway, I helped this little robin out. They're very sweet little birds and very cute, very pretty. And I think it's a sign that we're about to have a very good winter.
Yes, we are.
I'll take any sign.
Or just a good day, Gareth.
I've made a big, what do you call it, a pot? Pot of soup. Ooh. See, I don't know anything about kitchens. I've made a big, there we go, there's a little robin.
That's a beautiful picture.
Thank you.
It is a beautiful picture.
I took it in a hurry.
The lighting and composition.
Just before I let the bird out.
You should enter this into like a...
Please. It's not that
photography competition.
No, it's not that so I've made a big pot of vegetable soup, which is going to power me through the weekend.
Let's go.
That's the best thing to have in winter. And
what protein are you having with that, but?
With protein, no protein, but just the veggie soup.
Then it's not a meal.
There's no chicken in your veggie soup. There's no...
No, I don't...
What do you
I
want?
Don't...
Do you just want to fart?
No.
What is going on?
No, guys.
Why the fuck are you eating vegetables?
Right. You know what?
Some like bones in there just for
broth.
I'm
not one of those people who's going to say, I'm going to bring you some of my soup because I'm not
schlepping... I don't want your fucking vegetable soup.
I'm not schlepping fucking Tupperwares around. It's that good, okay? It's the best. It's just the best soup you'll ever
have. Let me judge you both.
It's an incomplete meal.
Then make your own fucking soup with whatever you want in it.
It's an incomplete meal.
Add some meat in there.
Guys.
Chicken, yana.
Fucking throw the robin in there.
There. It'll help with the broth. It'll make it much more nicer.
Cheers. This has become Cooking with Ben and Simpiwe. This is exactly the show I did not want to do. We will see you on Monday at 6 o'clock. Bye.
'Zonder te weten was ik heel de nacht bij jou. Nooit zal ik die nacht meer vergeten.